Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the program, and glad to have you with us today. Lots to get to, and of course, we've got to start for just a moment with the national championship game in college football last night. We discussed Ohio State. If you're an Indiana fan and supporter, are you pulling for Ohio State? Are you pulling for the Big Ten Conference to have a good showing in the championship last night, or do you want to see Alabama roll? And no matter what your opinion was, Indiana fans, Alabama absolutely rolled. Final score 52-24, 18th national championship for Alabama. They had some record offensive stats as well, which made it, despite the margin between the two teams, kind of impressive. It wasn't, is Ohio State going to get back in this thing and it's going to be a good game? It was, what's Alabama and their offense going to do next? And again, 52-24, the final score. Alabama ends the season as champions, as number one in today's final AP poll. We'll tell you where Indiana was at in that final Associated Press poll coming up as well. And I think the other story that we'll start with here in just a few moments is Nebraska. They've paused their basketball after some positive COVID-19 tests, and we'll address that in our headlines coming up here in just a moment. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one will begin here in just a few moments with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll talk Nebraska. We'll talk some IU basketball, a couple notes on Trace Jackson Davis. Archie Miller had his coach's show last night, some interesting takeaways from there. Some good news for Yogi Ferrell, some IU football discussion points as well, and more coming your way here in our headlines to start the program. Also later in the show, Greg Doyle, he's back from vacation. He was off last week, but he rejoins the program per normal on Tuesdays. He'll be with us in segment two today. And then later in the hour, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins. We've got IU basketball to talk about. We've got to get ready for the IU-Purdue game coming up on Thursday. There's some individual players I want to talk about with Mike. And depending on time, we may get into recruiting as well. I continue to get lots of questions. Where do things stand from a recruiting perspective? And I think my answer at this point generally is I think there'll be some additions to this class, if you want to call it that, for next year. For incoming freshmen or maybe even incoming other grades, because transfers are going to be rampant. It's already been that way in college hoops, but with COVID and extra years and of eligibility and just so many things that are going on that are different right now in our landscape, I think that everyone is bracing for an unbelievable year when it comes to transfers. And Indiana can be a beneficiary of that. They already have by landing Parker Stewart. And, of course, we await to see when he joins the team as far as on the court and in practice. There really have been no updates other than we do believe he currently is in Bloomington. So we'll talk that and more with Mike Pegram later in the show. And that's the lineup. It's a service of Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's has a location in Jeffersonville and, of course, New Albany as well. And the number one thing I think maybe that has you on the edge of your seat this morning is Nebraska has paused team activities. They reported yesterday evening that due to some positive COVID-19 results among its Tier 1 personnel, that would be what the NCAA asks you to tier things up this year. Tier 1 would include student-athletes, obviously the players, coaches, and any staff member whose job requires close, regular contact with the team. You could include managers in that Tier 1, I'm sure, as well. So who knows if it's players, coaches, a combination of both, but definitely some issues at Nebraska. Indiana just played there. This announcement was made around 6:30 last night from Nebraska. Literally 24 hours earlier, Indiana was tipping off that game at Nebraska. So it will be interesting to see if close contact in a basketball game leads to any issues for Indiana. And I got to tell you, some of the high school stories I've heard talking with local coaches and some across the state, you know, they will have just played somebody and they find out that one of the key players or a player on the team that they just beat had COVID-19. Well, they go back with their athletic director or an administrator from the school and you watch the film. And was any of your specific players one-on-one, or not one-on-one, but in any time around that player that was infected or could have been infected during that game for more than 15 minutes? Because that's what it is from a CDC perspective. And a lot of times you could have just played someone that had a positive guy or two, but in a basketball game on defense, for example, there's so much movement that you're really not in close proximity, within 6 feet or closer to a guy for 15 minutes if you add up all the minutes and seconds on defensive and offensive possessions when you're in that proximity with the possibly infected player or the player that maybe could have been infected at that time. I don't know how they do it at college and if they get that detailed and go back and look. I would imagine that's a possibility, but who knows if it will cause any issues for Indiana moving forward. But it is worth noting that Nebraska and Penn State both now have had to pause because of COVID-19. This knocks out the Huskers' game against Illinois on Wednesday, which was scheduled for tomorrow. It will be postponed, and beyond that, who knows exactly how this affects Nebraska. Could be, you know, Penn State's going on 2 weeks coming up here in a few days, and it very well could be the same for Nebraska, depending on their protocols and how many guys also are infected with the virus. Looking at a couple other Big Ten notes, Trace Jackson Davis, no surprise here. He was co-player of the week in the Big Ten Conference as announced yesterday afternoon. Three double-doubles in the period of the last week. He averaged 20 points, 12.7 rebounds, 2.3 assists, and two blocks even over this last week of Big Ten basketball play. He shares the honor with Jordan Bohannon, who had 19 points and 14 assists in Iowa's win against Minnesota earlier in the week. And so another Big Ten Player of the Week honor for Trace Jackson Davis. Archie Miller, we had his coaches show last night, Inside IU Basketball with Archie Miller, hosted by Don Fisher here on the Big X Sports Radio. A number of interesting things from Coach Miller yesterday. He started the show talking about Indiana's trip to Wisconsin and then Nebraska. And I kind of wondered this as things were unfolding and as we knew that Indiana was already in Nebraska well in advance, a couple, two, 3 days in advance of the game. He mentioned that last night, that they decided to go early instead of coming back to Bloomington between Wisconsin and Nebraska. He said he liked the time together. Breath of fresh air, I think, is exactly how he described it, that they got to hang out at the hotel, watch film, eat together, things like that while on the road in between those games. But I don't think that that's a normal thing, and I could be wrong. One of the IU beat writers that knows more about their travel arrangements on a regular basis could probably tell us, but I don't think normally when there's that much time between road games, Indiana will go from road spot A to road spot B before coming home. I think normally they come back, get in class, do the normal stuff from campus and practice and things in Bloomington and get there maybe the night before or the day before the game. But things are different this year for a number of reasons, and Indiana chose to go straight from Wisconsin to Nebraska for the game. Also, he talked about Trace Jackson Davis. We know that Trace had a slow start against Nebraska. We knew they threw everything but the kitchen sink at him from a defensive perspective. effective, and of course also that he made his free throws as well. But he talked about him being really beat up. He didn't say injured. He just said that he was pretty beat up after the Wisconsin games. I think sore and banged up was what he said in the coach's show last night. So that's interesting as well. Trace Jackson Davis playing through not some injuries, but some soreness and some wear and tear, and still able to put forth a good performance despite the way that Nebraska was guarding him or attempting to guard him in the game earlier this week on Sunday night. Also, he talked a little bit about Armaan Franklin. He did not say exactly when he thinks Armaan Franklin will be back, but he did mention that he hoped that everyone was available for Thursday. So whether that's maybe playing on playing into things a little much or not, it sounds like the possibility is there for Armaan Franklin to be back for the Purdue game on Thursday evening, but nothing for sure on that. And then he did talk a little bit about Joey Brunk near the end of the program. He said that he has not started his rehab process yet from the back surgery. He'll begin an 8-week track to get back, he said, in the next few days. And still, Archie Miller remains uncertain whether Joey Brunk will be able to play this season or not. But I tell you what, 8 weeks of rehab, maybe some of that rehab could still include him playing some minutes in games. I have no idea. But it sounds like the return of Joey Brunk, if it happens this season, if it ever happens at Indiana, could still be a little down the track. Also, Yogi Ferrell, some good news for him. He signed a 10-day contract yesterday with Cleveland after playing in 50 games last season for Sacramento. So here's an opportunity for Yogi, see if he can make the most of it and maybe land a permanent home with the Cavs this season. He's now played, when he suits up for the first time with Cleveland, with Brooklyn, Dallas, Sacramento, and Cleveland, as I mentioned, will be the fourth NBA team that he will be with. Also, some college football notes. After the national championship game, we see the final AP poll for this season. Of course, Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Notre Dame 5, other Big Ten teams. Northwestern is 10th after winning their bowl game, finishing the season at 7-2. And Indiana finishes the regular season with a 6-2 record, of course a loss in the bowl game, but they finished number 12 in the final AP top 25 of the season. Also, looking ahead, this is just for fun, way too early polls in football for the 2021 season coming up, we hope, this fall. We hope there's some normalcy with fans and game day and that we can get back to the normal traditions, you could say, of IU and greater of college football as a whole. But Indiana, in one of the polls, I saw up as high as number 7. Georgia was number 1. Alabama was 2. Ohio State 4 in the poll. But Indiana, number 7 in one of the way too early polls. Also, in another, Indiana was number 10 in a way too early top 25 for next season. Also interesting to note that Notre Dame, in both of those way too early rankings, taking a look at 2021, was behind the Hoosiers in both of those polls. So that's some good off-season debate maybe between a lot of Notre Dame fans, at least Notre Dame football fans. I don't know that we have many Notre Dame basketball fans, but a lot of a crossover there, I think, when it comes to Notre Dame football fans we have from some of the other college programs in our state. That's a look at our headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll be back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star to talk some IU basketball, to talk the national championship game from last night. Also, some other topics coming up. May get into a little Colts. I know they may be in the market for a new quarterback, and Romeo Langford not yet active with the Boston Celtics. We'll cover those topics and more with Greg when he joins us in the next segment. Stay with us. A Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report continues with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star coming up next. We'll be back with that segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All All right, we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, sports columnist with the Star, always with us Tuesdays here on the Hoosier Report. And Greg, Indiana basketball, I think a pretty good week last week. They went to Wisconsin, faltered at the end, but were very competitive in that contest. And then for the most part on Sunday evening had total control of the game except for allowing Nebraska to get back in the, maybe the middle part of the second half of play. Your rating or scorecard on IU basketball through Sunday this far in this Big Ten Conference season, which is going to be ultra competitive, we already know.
Well, first of all, the Wisconsin game I thought was that impressed me more than the Nebraska game. I'll say that. You know, it's obviously, you know, win, lose. You win one, you lose one. But they, Wisconsin's a very, very good team, and IU is right there. Nebraska is a very, very, very bad team, and Nebraska was right there. I'm more impressed with the Wisconsin game than Nebraska. I don't know. They're great for the whole year. C? I mean, C on a scale that doesn't take into effect that Indiana's won a bunch of national championships and fancies itself and should. Big-time basketball school. You know, a big-time basketball school with this kind of track record, having the year it's having, is way below a C. But what Indiana is now and what's fair to think of Indiana now is the landscape has changed. I mean, average, I'm not sure. Am I supposed to say anything better than average? I can't imagine I am. I'm not sure what I've seen better than average. Trace Jackson Davis is very good. Armin Franklin's a lot better than I thought he was going to be. But the team's record as a whole, eh, eh.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Rob Phinisee and Al Durham, they both as senior guards, or not senior guards, Al is, but guards, upperclassmen guards, let's say, had rough starts to the season, very inconsistent, didn't bring the scoring or even the solid ball handling that maybe you would expect from both of them, and I think especially Rob Phinisee. But this last week, in addition to Indiana having some competitive games and getting one win at Nebraska, I thought a very good week for those guys as they seem to have just flipped a switch. They look like experienced players that are bringing that to the table as I think we thought they would heading into this season.
Yeah, Durham has had, I think his last maybe six games, he's averaging about 16 per. So, yeah, he's not just had a game or two good. He's been on a streak. And Phinisee, you know, when I watch Indiana play on the Big Ten Network especially, whether it's Stephen Bardo or whoever else is doing the color commentary, people are very impressed with Phinisee. I guess they're more impressed with with the ceiling. They see a ceiling there that we haven't seen. They talk about Phinisee that he ought to be one of the better guards in the Big Ten, like an all-Big Ten type of guard. And, you know, when he has a good game like he had the other day against Nebraska, at least the first 30 minutes, you know, he does elevate for a shot so good. It looks beautiful. He is a jet on the court. He's so strong. He's a good defensive player. So I feel like he's, you know, every now and then we see what he could be. That poor guy's been through so many injuries and concussions. And you just don't know what that does to somebody. You just don't know what it does to him long term and, you know, what percentage it takes away from them, you know, forever. You just don't know. But every now and then we see the full majesty of Rob Phinisee. And, you know, he's got pieces of him that you say, well, that's a pro, but you just don't see him enough.
And, Greg, I wonder with Jerome Hunter the last few games as well, and I know he really drew some positive comments from Archie last night in his coach's radio program, but I wonder if finally we're seeing a healthy and also confident Jerome Hunter after all that he's went through off the court with really a health situation that kept him out for so long. I wonder if this is going to become a consistent Jerome Hunter that we've seen the past two or three games.
It was just this week that Hunter was saying, it might have been after that Wisconsin game, but it was just in the last 6-7 days where he has said he finally now, only now, feels like what he was physically before that leg issue. Only now. And it's been, I guess, 2 years. But he had a play against, I think it was Penn State, I'm sorry, Nebraska, that Archie later said, well, I'm not sure if that was the one Archie said sealed it, but he had a play against Nebraska where he got an offensive rebound and just went straight back up with it. And I realize that's what you're supposed to do, but when there's 10 great athletes on the court and you're the one that goes and gets the ball and then Poe goes up faster than anybody else, that's pretty special. And Hunter did that. And so you see glimpses like that. People have told me for years that he's, you know, that he was a pro, you know, when you come out of high school, like he was a guy that you knew was going to be a pro. And you look at him, he's 6'6", 6'7", and long as he can be, and can defend and has a great shooting stroke. And you can see it. And he might, it's going to take him 4 years probably to get just consistently, just to get back, kind of like Fantasy with the concussion, him with the leg. It's going to take him about 4 years for him to, and hopefully he gets there, for him to be the player he could have been. But yeah, he's certainly trending up. He's like a really good young man, so you got to be happy for him.
Talking with Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Looking ahead to Thursday's game, Indiana will host Purdue. We know it's a rivalry game, and without saying, we know how the Big Ten Conference is this year. But I didn't realize until I looked at Purdue's schedule this morning. They are 8-5 overall, like Indiana. They are also 3-3 in the Big Ten Conference, like Indiana. As you start to glance toward February, and I know we've got a number of games left this month, but really, you could make a cause for Thursday's game, in addition to the rivalry game it is, to be a very important game, a momentum game, a building block game for both of these in-state programs as they battle through this tough conference this season.
Well, certainly important in the respect you just said, because that's kind of the near future and as a springboard. Like, well, what happens to your next couple games? Well, if you beat Purdue or if you lose Purdue, that can have an impact. Down the road, you know, the selection committee is picking 68 teams. If IU and Purdue are on the same track they're on now, which is to have almost parallel seasons, it sure would be nice to be the team that beat the other one. So this game is, I mean, it's kind of like a tiebreaker almost. It's like an AFC South game where you kind of got to beat AFC South teams because it's going to count down the road as a tiebreaker also. So, yeah, this game's huge. I mean, identical records is really interesting at this point. And they've played almost identical schedules. I mean, clearly they both had some non-conference games, but by the end of the year they're going to play, you know, the strength of schedule ought to be just about the same because it's almost all Big Ten games. And that game's interesting because neither team has a ton of post depth. They both have two guys they lean on heavily, and really the question is going to be which one gets in foul trouble. And Trevon Williams and Zach Edey have, you know, they've got a history of foul trouble, big-time foul trouble. If IU can get those guys, both of them, out of there, and they can, Trace Jackson-Davis, you know, the game plan needs to be Trace Jackson-Davis shoots every time down the court, every time, because that will, A, he's your best player, but B, he'll foul everybody out, and then it'll just be IU against the Purdue Lilliputians, and they got to win that one. Purdue's going to be doing the same thing. If they can get Trace into foul trouble, and then Race Thompson's all they have left because Joey Brunk still can't get on the field court because of his back surgery, it's going to come down to foul trouble in the post, something like that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Speaking of Purdue, I didn't get a chance to see it live, but did you follow the comeback from Purdue to beat Michigan State on Friday, 55-54?
I did not, but I know that Trevon Williams put them on his back and scored. You know, every now and then, and it happens enough that you know it's, I mean, clearly not a fluke, but it happens enough that if it doesn't happen to your team, you're lucky. Because Trevon Williams, every couple, three, four games, has a game where he's just, you can't stop him. You just can't stop him. And he's, you know, kind of Biggie Swanigan, only actually more efficient than Swanigan was. And he's a better passer. He's not as good as Biggie. I mean, I guess. I'm not really sure why he's not. But anyway, he did that to Michigan State. Last 20 minutes, he was just the best player on the court by leaps and bounds, much like Trace Jackson-Davis was in the last probably 12 minutes against Nebraska, the best player on the court by leaps and bounds. And that was the team that wins. When you have one guy that much better than everybody else, you're going to win. And Trevon Williams has a game like that, but every 2 weeks. And you just kind of, again, if it doesn't happen by Thursday, then count your blessings because it's going to happen to somebody. That's it.
Now, Greg, the Purdue-Nebraska game, which was scheduled for January 5th, which would have been a week ago today, it was postponed. And I think the statement from Purdue and Nebraska said mutually agreed upon because of health concerns. So kind of leaves you in the dark. Was both schools having some concerns with COVID-19? Was it just Nebraska? Who knows? But the way it was worded would seem that both had some sort of issue going on at that time. We saw Nebraska return to play Sunday with the IU game out in Nebraska. And then last night in the evening, Nebraska announces that they are going to join Penn State as Big Ten programs that are currently on hold right now because of some COVID-19 issues in the Tier 1 of their team. So, you know, Indiana does the testing on a daily basis, and there's a lot of great protocols, it seems, in the Big Ten, which have kept them ahead of many, many other conferences so far as being able to get games in and stay healthy and stay on schedule. But you do have to wonder what was going on and what is going on at Nebraska to see the game last Tuesday canceled, and then, of course, they go back in action Sunday, and I'm sure Indiana will be closely monitoring things coming out of Nebraska with that Sunday night game.
Yeah, and I think the 72 hours or so is how much ice is going to have between Nebraska and the Purdue game. I think that we should all know these things by now, but then again, I'm not sure anybody knows these things by now, but I feel like 72 hours is enough for everybody at IU, if you keep testing negative, that you know you don't have it. I don't think anyone can test negative for 3 days and actually go on the court Thursday night and have it and then spread it to Purdue and spread it among yourselves. So hopefully the game, you know, goes off without a hitch, but it's just where we are. You not knowing really anything. All we know is that Purdue and Nebraska mutually agreed not to play, and now that Nebraska has had a flare-up, you know Nebraska has some issues. You just hope that, and you have to believe that they didn't do anything reckless, that they just, you know, this COVID thing is so fluid, and tests come back this way, but they're really that way. They come back that way, but they're really this way. And I don't think Nebraska did anything wrong, but it looks bad. I mean, it looks bad. And if IU has an outbreak tomorrow, that'll look real bad on Nebraska, and I hope that's not what happens.
Yeah, definitely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. He's with us always on Tuesdays. I've got to get your comments and thoughts on the national championship game last night. My goodness, Alabama's good. Their offense, unbelievable last night. 52-24, they defeat the Big Ten's Ohio State in that championship game. No real surprises, at least to me, in how that game unfolded. I think maybe I thought it would be a bit closer than that, but Alabama is absolutely just rolling.
Yeah, and I, you know, you asked me quite a bit about my TV watching habits. I would just like for you to guess, when do you think I found out all the details about that game?
I'm going to guess you probably recorded it and watched it this morning, maybe.
You're giving me way too much credit. You texted me, you know, Matt texts me before every Tuesday show, and he talks about, you know, we're going to talk about this, and this, and I'll mention this, and this. And so anyway, Matt, at the very end of our text, he says, well, we'll talk about Alabama, Ohio State last night and something else. And that was at like 10:55. And I looked at the text, I'm like, oh, that's right, they played last night. I didn't know. I mean, I knew. I knew, but I didn't. I was at my girlfriend's last night, and, you know, we're not watching football. And I slept in this morning a little bit and then walked the dog and, you know, was there and making the bed. Anyway, doing stuff. And anyway, I had forgotten they played. So I go to Hulu. I have Hulu, and I record ESPN Sports Center. I've been watching Sports Center from 11 to 11:10 and saw the highlights. Like, okay, good. I see what happened. So that's when I found out, A, so you're getting me fresh. But B, I want to tell you that I was – so thrilled, just when, you know, right when they come on, live from Sports Center at night, and boy, Alabama sure is good. I'm like, yes, good, because I wanted Ohio State to lose. I don't mind saying that. I don't like how Ohio State handled the season. I don't like how the Big Ten handled Ohio State. I don't like how IU paid a price for all of it. I really don't like. And Ryan Day seems like a decent guy most of the time. Certainly seems like the kind of guy that if you saw him walking down the aisle of the grocery store, you wouldn't think that's a big time football coach. He just, you know, he doesn't carry himself, and I mean that in a compliment. He looks like a normal human being, but he was saying, you know, let's go to Miami or wherever this game was played, and let's finish off the greatest story ever told. And I'm thinking, what kind of delusion do you have to think that your season is the greatest story ever told when you're the one making noise of going to the SEC because you didn't like that your league was being too careful with the coronavirus, and you're going to actually abandon your league and go somewhere else. And then, because you're not careful enough with the virus, you had an outbreak that cost you two or three games. Your whole damn roster got sick and your head coach. And then you managed to come back, and despite the fact that you didn't handle your business well enough, the Big Ten gave you a pass and let you play for the Big Ten title anyway, which got you into the semifinals. And you think that's the greatest story ever told? That's the worst story ever told. You idiot. So losing 52-24 or whatever, that's the greatest story ever told, period.
I love it. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I want to close with a couple quick hitters. First off, NBA is back. I know you've been to some Pacers games and are following things closely there, but a lot of people our way wanting to follow Romeo Langford, but he's still out, still recovering from surgery in the off season. We had a Celtics beat writer on, I don't know, within the last week and a half or so to kind of give an update on the Celtics and on Romeo as well, and it sounds like his return to play will be slow and methodical, as you would imagine, and it sounds like it still will be a month or so away. Romeo just cannot catch any breaks when it comes to working himself into a regular rotation and a role and identity on the Celtics because of so many different injuries he's had to overcome.
Yeah, is it the same rough area of his wrist and thumb that's injured, and so he just keeps re-aggravating it, or is this an entirely brand new, no relation to the old one injury? Do we know?
You know, I believe it's the same wrist, the same hand, but I've had a couple people ask me that recently, and I need to investigate that because I don't 100% know that.
My impression is that it is, and let's say it is. Even if it's not, what I'm about to say still applies. But I'm assuming it is. Romeo is a guy that has been rushed everywhere, every step of the way, when he wasn't ready. I very famously, very infamously, whatever, wrote back when Romeo sat out the NIT game in his freshman year and he hadn't declared yet for the pros. I wrote, he's not ready. You know, I get the finances, but he's not ready. Worst thing that can happen to him is to go pro right now. He's not ready. Don't do it. And, of course, you know, I even told his dad that. I told his dad that in the crowd that night. Hey, not to give him parental advice, but just to tell him, here's what I'm writing. If you want to, you know, refute it or rebut it, here's your chance, but I'm writing this. So I told him. And anyway, he was rushed to the NBA. And then he was, you know, he had that surgery that he had. I mean, he played hurt as a freshman. We didn't know it in real time, which makes his freshman year all the more remarkable. But he was rushed back, sort of, I guess, rushed back from that surgery. Because now he's hurt it again. And I don't want to hear that he's going to be back in a month. What I want to hear is, as hard as it's going to be, is he's not going to play again this year. He's not going to play this year. This is a kid and a young man that needs to be once and for all treated real preciously and real cautiously and real conservatively. And let's stop chasing a very small present and let's plan for a 20-year future. And no one's done it for him yet. Nobody. And it'd be nice if they would do it now.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. One other basketball, one other NBA note, really. Cavs, Cleveland, has signed Yogi Ferrell to a 10-day contract. So we'll see if Yogi can do as he's done in the past and turn this short opportunity. And I don't know anything about the Cavs or their needs at the guard spot or anything, but we'll see if he can take this short opportunity and short little payday to maybe turn it into something more permanent. I think he's done this before, maybe with the Mavs, and I don't remember how he got started with the Kings, if it was a 10-day deal or not, but I know everybody, I feel like everybody pulls for Yogi to do well in the pros.
Yeah, he went to Park Tudor, and the next really good player after him at Park Tudor, I think, because I know the kid that went to Xavier, Blewett, was really good, and he might have been a year younger than Yogi. But anyway, Kobe Webster was the next really good guard at Park Tudor. He went to Western Illinois, then transferred to Nebraska. Kobe Webster is the kid that hit the three-pointer that gave Nebraska its first lead since 2-0. He gave him a lead in the second half. So anyway, there's a little Indiana crowd for you. But Yogi, I don't really understand why he was still available. You know, I certainly understand why Cleveland would want him. I don't know why he hasn't stuck. I mean, what he did in Dallas as their, you know, second point guard, the guy off the bench that comes in just scoring and assisting, he did that really well. I don't think he's such a defensive liability because he's just so small that he just can't play in the league. I don't think that's what it is. So I just don't know why he's not stuck yet. I don't get it. He's too good to be getting 10-day contracts from the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not sure why this is happening to him.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us Tuesdays. Greg, as always, thanks for the chat. Now, maybe you won't even want to, but I was going to say you can watch that recorded national championship game this afternoon if you've got some time.
If I don't want to watch it live, there's no chance I want to watch it where I know the result. Although, to watch Ryan Day's face as he sees the greatest story ever told blow up in his face like a Nickelodeon sliming maneuver, that'd be pretty good too, because Ryan Day, again, seems like a nice guy, looks like a decent guy. I'm sure he's a very smart guy. But, Ryan Day, you're an idiot.
Greg, thank you as always for the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Matt. Yep, bye.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us, and that's segment number two. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, and dive into more IU basketball, a little IU football coming in this segment as well, and time pending, we may have some recruiting also. Speaking of IU football, saw that yesterday junior safety Jamar Johnson of IU football has declared for the NFL draft. He's the first underclassman, or non-senior, I guess is the right way to say it, to declare for the draft. Receiver Watt Fillior and offensive lineman Harry Kreider, they both declared for the draft for next season. They could have come back for another season because of the pandemic and that extra year of eligibility that was granted. We'll be back with Mike Pegram. More IU stuff coming your way. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joining us as normal on Tuesdays. We missed Mike last week. He was traveling back from the bowl game down in Florida, but back with us today. And, Mike, I know we've talked some about this, at least I have, throughout the program. Nebraska putting things on pause last night with some COVID-19 issues. How concerning is that for Indiana, you think? Obviously, I'm sure they do their daily testing, but probably keeping an extra watch on things here today and these next few days with the news on Nebraska last night. But I think fans, and I'm sure Archie Miller especially, just doesn't want to see this season get derailed as far as postponements and having to take a pause right here in the middle of things.
Yeah, I think they were fine, at least last night. Meaning I don't think, you know, they had the positive test and all that, but it can take, you know, It's not immediate that you can show up positive, so you just kind of have to see what happens over the next couple days. But it's
talking
scary.
To Mike Pett. I'm sorry, you cut out. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's kind of inevitable that something will probably happen, maybe not with Indiana, but with some teams, and this is kind of the first time we've seen something during the Big Ten season.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is our guest. Let's take a look ahead to Thursday. It's a big game for Indiana. I mentioned this earlier as well. It's a rivalry game. But I feel like with both teams 8-5, both teams 3-3 in the conference, it kind of takes on some extra meaning as far as a game that can help push you ahead into the rest of your January and get you started in February Big Ten play.
Yeah, we were talking about that as with the fans last night in chat, that there's kind of four teams that have separated themselves, but who is that kind of fifth team, sixth team that's, you know, a clear NCAA team that might surprise? And I think this is kind of a weeding out to maybe making a case for that. And Indiana's, you know, got a real opportunity to end this kind of, you know, I don't think they've beaten Purdue since the 2016 time frame, and they're at home, and they have some advantages over Purdue this time around. And so this is a really important game for the program.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Trace Jackson Davis, Big Ten Player of the Week, three double-doubles within the last week, including against Nebraska when he kind of really scored a lot of his points at the free throw line and later in the game because of how Nebraska was guarding him. Archie mentioned last night he was banged up, maybe a little sore was the word that he used in describing that. Any concern with Trace Jackson Davis, man? He sees a lot of different defenders, a lot of double teams, a lot of rough defense in this physical Big Ten conference, and that's on a game-in, game-out basis for him.
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska took it to the extreme with double teams and really bringing all of their defense out on him. Indiana did a good job for a while. Rob Finney, he hit some shots, and now they're taking advantage of the space that was allotted to them because they were giving Trace so much attention. But, you know, it didn't last all game long, and they kind of fell back into some bad habits in the second half, allowing, you know, Nebraska to back in the game. But I think it's a strategy that you'll see, you know, from here on out, ganging up on him. Though Purdue has some pretty good size They may play him a little bit more straight up. I think the key Thursday will be whether Trace can get Williams and some of those guys on Purdue in foul trouble, because he is terrific at drawing fouls. I think he's leading the country maybe in free throw attempts. Just that's the key, I think, to that game.
Mike, Rob Phinisee obviously has had a couple good games, but what a first half he had against Nebraska, 16 points, and finished with a career high in that ball game. I know that fans, and I'm sure Coach Miller, are excited to see Rob play at the level he did or has been in the last few games after some disappointing games to start the Big Ten slate of schedule. Does Indiana need Rob Phinisee? And I guess you'll take your scoring any way you can get it, especially when Trace Jackson Davis, as we just mentioned, double teamed and triple teamed and banged up and everything else. But can Indiana, does Indiana need to be that type of scorer, or do you think they just need him to be a consistent guy to run the offense? And if you can score some points and in that process, by all means, do so.
Yeah, they especially need him this year because Christian Nanner doesn't look quite ready. Not to just quite old enough and experienced enough, and Rob's going to have to really run this team. And you know, he's not the ideal point guard in terms of great burst and ability to separate himself to get a, create his own shot or create opportunities for teammates. But he's solid. He can shoot the ball, and when he's given the opportunity and space to get open looks, you know, like he did at Nebraska, he can hit some shots, and he guards. So He's a real important piece of this team, and when he plays well, I think the team will win. I mean, it's pretty obvious. If Trace gets offensive help beyond just Armand Franklin, this is a very good team, but it has to happen.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, I do want to flip to some football stuff, Mike, before we end the segment. You were at the bowl game. Obviously, the loss, not the best way to end the season for Indiana football, but still – lots of accomplishments this year. And when the national championship game came to a close last night, we find out that Indiana will end the season ranked number 12 in the final AP top 25. But I know it's not as credible as the AP poll or the coaches poll that we'll get soon, the final poll. But a lot of people put out their way early look at next season at the conclusion of the national championship game as well. And Indiana, coming off the year they had with who's expected to be back at this point, Indiana's got some pretty high marks. And I know it doesn't mean a lot, but interesting to see Indiana 7 in one person's opinion, I think number 10 in another. Very interesting to see that Indiana clearly is going to be thought of highly when we think of college football for next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be ranked during the season, but to be ranked before the season, that's pretty new territory for the program, and that just shows what they accomplished this year. And they got bulk of their team back. I know they lost Jamar Johnson to the NFL, but that might be their only in well full year, but that might be their only significant issues. And they have some guys in those positions coming in that are fairly proven, so they're in really good shape for being just as good on paper, even better maybe than this past season. And of course, a lot depends on Michael Penix coming back to where he was, but a lot of possibilities, and it'd be fun to watch.
Jamar Johnson entered the NFL draft yesterday, the first guy that's not a senior to do so. That loss there, obviously, is key for Indiana.
Yeah, Jamar was underrated. I mean, I think, he'll probably go a third or fourth round once the NFL teams really look at that film, because he was a big reason they led the country in interceptions, and he just really developed quickly. And I think he'll definitely be on the roster next year. But, you know, Marcelino Ball, a really experienced veteran, was out all season with an injury, and he can play in the defensive backfield. And Raheem Lane was out all – a former starter out all season. He's a former defensive back starter. So they've got some guys that can kind of fill in some good reserves already. So – you know, but Jamar Johnson was special, and so that hurts.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, always with us on Tuesdays. High school basketball, Mike, to close, is back in full swing here in the Hoosier State. It isn't necessarily back, though, across the country. I know Kentucky, or at least Louisville schools, have not yet received clearance to play just yet. But that always is something to watch, in addition to some of the great high school games in our state, is recruiting and who's playing well in the state and who Indiana's after in the state and beyond. And so I guess just generally we don't talk as much recruiting during the season because the games and those storylines occupy so much of our time. But anything stand out to you, whether it's in the state or maybe with a late prospect in this current senior class, anything from a recruiting standpoint bounce out at you this week?
No, if there was a theme within the state of Indiana and IU recruiting, it would be C.J. Gunn's really turning into a nice player at Lawrence North, guard with good size. It's, you know, 6'5", 6'4". And that team is a super team. I mean, they've got probably three Division I players. One's already signed with Butler, DJ Who. So, in fact, I may go see him play tonight because they're just that good. And but there hasn't been, you know, any. The 2023 class, I've seen some good, solid players. I saw Jalen Hooks from Crispus Attucks, 6'6", 6'7" player with a lot of potential, but he's very raw. It's not quite as exciting in the state as it was last couple of years, but there's some solid prospects, and Indiana's after those guys I mentioned.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat, and talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. We'll catch up with you then. Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. A couple reminders for you. Don't forget that you can catch us as a podcast if you can't join us live in the 11 o'clock hour on the Big X each weekday. You can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, really any place that you may listen, download a podcast. All you have to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can subscribe for free and keep up with IU and keep up with Southern Indiana sports on a daily basis. And no matter how you're with us each day, appreciate your listenership, appreciate your feedback, and glad that you're with us for this daily program. Also coming up on Friday, we've got high school basketball. Just a couple broadcast notes. Of course, Indiana-Purdue gets the early weekend started on Thursday evening here on the Big X with Don Fisher. But Friday, we will have Jeffersonville and Floyd Central. So another rivalry game Friday night, and the Red Devils will look to bounce back after the loss to New Albany last Friday. And it should be a competitive matchup. I think New Albany-Jeff, New Albany-Floyd, Floyd-Jeff, all the way around, those have the potential to be really good matchups, whether it's regular season or the postseason still ahead. Saturday we'll have Jeffersonville again. They will be at Providence. So really you've got two rivalry-type games coming up this weekend, and we'll have both of those games for you. More details coming a little bit later in the week. We'll be back with you Wednesday. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will be with us. We'll also have some additional guests coming up as well, but we'll recap where things are at in the high school basketball season with Josh when he joins us tomorrow, and hope that you can also join us for our Wednesday program as well. That's going to wrap things up for today. Again, back with you Wednesday at 11 a.m. here on the Big X, and of course our podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and other platforms as well. Until tomorrow, Matt Dennison. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.